Room Studio 511. It's the 270th edition. 70th? Yes, 270th edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
This is Chris.
This is Arnold. I was posting it on Facebook.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much for tuning in today, guys. We very much appreciate it. If you're watching us live, congratulations. That means you have the secret perk of commenting along if you log into your YouTube account. I'll have you pulled up here on the little smartphone and just join the live chat, and I'll see what you say, and I'll try to involve you as best as I can, and you can say whatever you want in there. You know, ask us questions. Just say hi. Talk shit. Whatever. Fact check us. It's cool. But if you're not watching us live, that's okay. You can still interact with us on Facebook, facebook.com/HoustonWrestlingRadio. Oh, man, what a great freaking week. This was a good week.
No, it was good.
I ended it on a downer.
On a downer?
Did you see last night's episode of The Apprentice?
No.
Holy shit.
That was a State of the Union address.
Oh, that's what that was?
Oh.
Because it just talking to half of the audience. Because the other half apparently didn't give a fuck.
I thought it was good.
I thought it was entertaining.
Yeah. MAGA.
I'm DACA. Literally sip my tea here.
MAGA versus DACA. Hell in a cell. Fuck you.
God alone.
Oh, Lord.
What's the first thought that pops in your mind when the 2 hours and 30 minutes of NXT?
Exhausted, dude.
You say that in a positive connotation or negative?
Positive.
Oh. Yes.
I was wore out, man. I was wore the fuck out. And that was because I didn't even watch it on Saturday. I watched it on Sunday. But of course, I was.
Oh, that's your fault.
That is my fault because Saturday we're at DZW and we did live commentary that night. And it was a great show. And we should have all that up on YouTube here pretty soon. So please stay tuned.
YouTube.
Yes.
All right.
YouTube.
Now I have commentary. No excuse.
Yes, exactly.
I'll post negative feedback.
Yeah, you would.
Did I miss something? Y'all are just doing straight YouTube now?
Well, and we're also going to be a Houston Media Source. I don't know what time, whatever. They're going to put it on there whenever that happens. Definitely that's YouTube.
Good advertising.
YouTube is what we can control. Yes.
720 or 1080?
I don't know. I'm not on that end of things. I'm on the end of things where I just talk about what happens in the ring.
I hope the quality's not as bad as Ring of Honor's website. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, geez, yeah.
Because Ring of Honor is like pixels. Like, it's Mario, except it's Jay Lethal.
Yeah. So, yeah, I didn't
exhausting.
Watch...
Exhausting.
I didn't watch TakeOver on Saturday. I watched it Sunday. And I full disclosure, I was sick. So I was, like, watching it. Well, I'm still a little sick, but not as bad as I was before. I was watching it, just laying here kind of miserable, coughing and sneezing my way through it. But... I don't know if that necessarily tainted the way I saw it, but at the end of the fucking show, I was like, holy fuck, that was. And then, man, again, the same thing that always happens with NXT, when it's like, man, the build hasn't been that great, whatever, it's not going to be a good takeover, I don't care, nah, it's not going to. Then, bam, they hit you with the fucking amazing-ass takeover.
I actually had told that to Abel, too, because I was like, dude, I'm not really even really excited. I don't even know the card. I don't even know what the hell is going on, which means it's probably gonna be the best one yet.
Yep.
Shit.
And that's what happened.
Yeah. The way I felt after it was done, was hopeful. I was like, all right.
Hopefully.
WWE is going to see that. They're going to, you know they got to kick it up a notch on their usual programming. And I think they did. So, like, I think it set the precedent for the rest of the weekend. And it was badass.
Okay. What about you, Chris?
I saw it live. The same thing, exhausting. That main event, dude.
Jesus Christ. So many
false
finishes.
Right off the bat, that's a match to be candidate right there.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, instantly.
It just when you think it's over, live in the moment, Saturday, just when I'm thinking, you know what, this match might be getting a little bit too long, they finished it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my God.
And then when it's over, you think it's over, and it's still not over. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still think it's over.
I like to throw out what I would think would be a piping hot take, but it's probably not piping hot because it seemed like a lot of people agreed with me. But I'm going to throw it out there. I am officially 100% a Cien Almas fan.
Nice.
I like the guy. Nice.
Well, okay. You know, there you go.
Yeah. 100%. I'm on board with the dude.
Was that after TakeOver or was that in the Rumble?
After TakeOver.
Okay.
After TakeOver. After I watched TakeOver, I was like, I'm officially a fan of that guy. I kind of didn't like him for a long time. And I was like, okay. You know, every time I saw him in a match, I could say, oh, that's the best match I've seen him in yet. And then NXT Houston happened, and I was like, all right, he had a good showing, but the thing with Drew, and he's probably going to be just a transitional champ, whatever. I don't really care that much, but Zelina Vega's cool, and okay. Like he's all right. He's middle
was,
of the road.
Was there a this flaw match, that he was missing that he that you got filled in on, or yes. Is the positive outweighing the negative enough for you to forget the negative?
I think the flaw that had been missing with him is just the fact that we've never – I think the character's all right. You know, I kind of would think that he would have been great value brand Alberto Del Rio, but after watching that match, he's not. He's a complete different other person, and just worthy of my fandom. I don't know. I know that sounds very haughty of me, but do you guys agree, disagree?
I agree 100%, but okay. I've been a Almas fan for about a year now. Ever since he
I think TakeOver is what won me over.
He won me over at the TakeOver where he fought Aleister Black. That's when I was like, yo, this guy has something. Because he made
so he debuted when Aleister debuted.
When Aleister debuted, I took a lot of Aleister, but I also took I knew it was a WrestleMania one. Then I knew that I took a lot from St. Almas. I'm like, hey, this guy's good. I wonder if he elevates the people that he wrestles with. And throughout the now pretty much almost full calendar year, he does. He elevates people around him. He makes them look that much better. And he also makes himself look progressive because he stays just badass. But one thing Abel said that he got right, he just kicked it into that last gear this Saturday. And I was just like, God damn. And nothing that has to take anything away from Johnny Wrestling because – dude, he's amazing, dude.
He kicked it into a certain gear that I've never seen Del Rio get into, and that's why I'm done making any kind of comparison saying that he's going to be like a failed Del Rio. Yeah.
Del Rio doesn't have that gear. Del Rio is a fucking Flintstones car where you just get the same speed with the same legs.
Yeah. I agree. I totally agree.
Did the right wrestler win?
I think so because we're still thinking about it. If Johnny had won, we'd be like, oh, that was a good feel-good story. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, what's next? And then St. Almas would have debuted the next day at the Royal Rumble. And like, okay, that's cool. That's transitional, whatever. Awesome. Since he didn't win, we're left with more questions than answers, which is fucking awesome for NXT. It keeps you wanting to know more of the product. And, yeah, it's going to be the next 2 weeks of bullshit episodes after a takeover. Like it always
Just one, yeah.
But – dude, it's gonna be fun.
Yeah, I think you took the words out of my mouth too. That you have more questions coming out of it. The easy booking answer would have been just give it to you know Gargano. Gargano, oh he's lost here, lost there, lost
the
that.
The Daniel Bryan story. Yeah. Daniel Bryan. They literally kept saying that over and over.
And that Cien Almas in a lot of people's minds, in my mind too, he's just gonna be transitional because of what happened with Drew. So yeah, no, but no, they. With this win, I still have respect for Gargano. I still know who he is. He's like Sami Zayn, where he's going to be the perennial loser because he's good at losing. Mm-hmm. God damn, he's good at losing. But they made something out of Cien. So if Cien had lost, okay, you made Gargano, but a lot of people still really like Gargano anyway. Winner, right person won. Because also, there's more questions now. What the hell is going to happen?
There's
in
more wrinkles in their feud with Zelina Vega and Candice LeRae. Yeah, that whole thing was awesome.
Yeah, and then of course at the end, we had Ciampa come back.
Yeah, which just by the looks of it, looks like he's still not ready.
Oh, he needs another 6 months.
Yeah, he's still unfortunately not ready. He's limping away. So we'll see. But no, yeah, I thought that match before it was over, I was already like, all right, that's the bar. That's the bar for the week. Somebody top that, and we'll see by the end of the show if anybody.
You sure
did.
About that? Because a lot of our listeners said Adam Cole versus Aleister Black was their match of the week pick.
They said the bar.
You can have different opinions even if they're wrong. That's fine. But
he's been hanging around me too much.
Baby. Yeah, you know you. Yeah. 2 hours a week. Yeah, there's no stupid questions. There's just stupid people. So that's what I like to live by. So yeah, no, that match just bam, dude. It was just the Aleister Black Adam Cole match was fucking awesome. It was bananas. It was awesome to the point where why I wouldn't rate it over this one is for the same reason Abel wouldn't rate the War Games match over any of the other ones. Because, man, the first thing I can think of right now, if you ask me anything about that match, was Adam Cole's thumb.
Adam Cole's thumb.
Adam Cole's thumb.
His thumb.
His thumb. He's fucking like, he busted that shit open.
He
yeah.
Cut it open.
And they had to like, the doctors had to.
All right. Oh, hell no. The first thing that comes to my mind is his back on those chairs.
Oh, yeah.
God. Yeah, no, it was an awesome match. I'm just, to me, when an Extreme Rules match, man, you really, really, I mean, it did. Don't get me wrong. It to me, out of 1 out of 10, the match was a 9 to me. It's awesome. But you really, really have to, like, really drive it home to, for me to remember an Extreme Rules match. Because I just, all I can think of is Carnage. It's so easy to just get away with Carnage, you know? Like, that's why, like, oh, yeah, it's cool. But they told the story with it, and it was cool. But to me, just the Gargano
okay.
match was so much better.
I think I agree with you. I do like the main event better. That's me personally. It's still a match of the week candidate for me. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it's kind of easy to forget Carnage because, you know, there's a lot of stuff that happens and a lot of shenanigans and crazy spots. And yeah, the table, or excuse me, chairs put together, that was fucking brutal. I do remember that. I think that if they had upplayed even more so the thing with Aleister where he doesn't need any weapons, he is the weapon. I think if they would have really, like, almost to the point of overdoing it in this match, then it would have been maybe even better. Because they did it. There were elements of that in there. You know, I think he looked at a kendo stick and threw it away.
Was like, you
grabbed the chair and folded it open and sat down.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. But they were kind of just trying to play it more like, oh, he's a babyface good guy and he doesn't want to hit anybody.
Yeah.
No, that wasn't it. It was like, there were elements. I just didn't feel like they did a full pronunciation of those elements in the match.
There's an other part to that.
Go for
that. I noticed that I didn't. That I'm probably not going to get an answer to right now. Ever since TakeOver War Games, Aleister Black's character's been a little bit more flamboyant. And for example, you're not going to appreciate Episode 7 as much of Star Wars until you see Episode 8 and realize, oh, this is why shit happened in 7. I'm waiting for the explanation weeks from now or months from now of either Aleister Black admitting it or Velveteen Dream playing up to it that there's a lot more of Velveteen and Aleister now because of that War Games match. You know,
okay.
Just took his time and lifted you up, and it was in that Velveteen match when he started being a little bit more like Velveteen and a little bit less like Aleister to play his own game. And I saw some residue of that in this match with Adam Cole, which I didn't think at the time was necessary. Again, not in a bad way, but that would probably, if it gets explained later on, that makes this match as good now. But since I don't have that now, I'm in the same boat with you. It's like 1A and 1B.
I can't think of the exact video game, movie, or what, or other wrestling character or whatever that I can think of right now. But that, where I think they might be going with Aleister Black, that every single time he vanquishes one of his like enemies or whatever people that he goes against, he takes something from
Mega Man.
Okay,
takes the weapon.
Yeah, he has that now. He has the personality now. Aleister Black. It'd be Shang Tsung, the motherfucker.
There you go.
Yeah. Or Kirby.
Or Kirby. Yeah, he just is like, he wears that now, like, as one of his things. And
only if he puts it in his mouth.
And whoever's next, then we'll go from there.
Interesting.
What NXT did for me was made me realize that, man, NXT has a lot of superstars.
Yeah.
Dude, with just the Undisputed Era, that tag team match was fucking badass, dude.
Yes.
That's the best AOP's ever looked, in my opinion. And with Red Dragon, they're just
You know what I was very pleased about in that match was, even though it was grossly obvious when you just looked at AOP and you looked at Red Dragon, it's like,
there's no reason for Undisputed to go over.
Yeah, there's no reason. But the way that especially not Fish, O'Reilly. Mm-hmm. The way O'Reilly was chopping Akam down like a tree with that leg, just like showing
his brawny.
I know that I have this task, and the way I'm going to do it is by outsmarting the guy and out-wrestling the guy and doing things to bring him down to my level. And it was masterful the way he was doing that. Yeah. And that showed to me that in the matches with Red Dragon can win, not because they're the biggest or the fastest or the strongest, but they might be the smartest and best at wrestling.
He was breaking down that Kyle O'Reilly actually does study MMA, and he has done this and that. He knows what to do, how to bring him down. You know, and it's exactly how you did. Now you said, like, he chopped him out like a fucking tree. He little by little, and by the end of the match, his hurt knee was what cost him the match.
Yep. And to Akam, was it Akam? Akam's credit, I have never heard him sell the way he was selling that match with O'Reilly.
That's what I'm saying. They're no, in my opinion,
they were both agonizing.
They're no longer green, in my opinion, for AOP. They're a little bit notch above green.
That reminds me. I thought it was a botch there at the end when they tried to do the super collider and Akam just kind of like bounced back and fell down or whatever. I thought it was a botch, but it wasn't a botch. It was him selling the leg. Mm-hmm. And the way he did that made me think, he fucked up.
Yeah.
But that's a good thing.
That's the beauty of it.
Yeah, that was so
good. And the counter, the Hurricanrana to knock Rezar out and then to just roll it out.
It was good. It was good storytelling.
It's like really good.
To me, that ends AOP and NXT and hopefully get Carla.
All right. I'm sitting on the couch, been in there. Portia and Randy have been
fondling.
Well, throwing puns at me over here, saying, I 100% I'm a fan of Almas now. Like, oh, Jesus. Okay, yeah.
Possibly.
Yes.
The most entertaining 30 seconds of the week was Velveteen Dream in Philly. Joe Louis would have been proud of Hono getting knocked out in 30 seconds by Velveteen for a Velveteen to celebrate like he won the lottery and then turn around and eat that roaring elbow right in his mouth.
That was cool.
And the crowd.
The crowd counting.
Yeah.
All it took was that little itty-bitty promo before, and the crowd picked it up. I'm so proud of them that they picked it up right then and there. Because, like, a little promo, you're not paying attention, you're in the arena, whatever, and it's like, eh. But that shows they're fucking paying attention to that backstage promo, heard it, and then immediately implemented it. Good job, Philly.
Mm-hmm. We thank the Smarks for that. Casuals won't pick up on that.
True. Well, I mean, it's Philly, and it was NXT. So it was the Smarkies of the Smarkies.
It was good.
Cream of the crop.
After those 30 seconds, the match bottomed out.
I agree.
That's true. Shocked afterwards. That's but, those first 30 seconds are – it's like me. First 30 seconds of woo. After that, it's, hey, you know what, you know.
It is what it is.
I'm here.
Pin me, pay me.
Yeah.
Give me my ribbon and orange slices.
Yes. What about the ladies' match? What do y'all think of that?
It won me – just like it won you over on Almas, it won me over on Baszler.
Yeah.
There's finally a defined character, and the fact that she lost, and it took a while for her to get over her mopiness and realize, I can still cut this bitch open. And sure enough, on the rail, choked her out, which she should have done in the first place. Mm-hmm. And I love the counter. I think they protected her in that match.
Oh, yeah.
But both of them looked good.
What I really loved about it is it wasn't like – it's kind of like when you're a casual UFC fighter, and I love this UFC reference because of Shayna Baszler, but, that's exactly why. You see around like it's just like round two. They spend a minute to 2 minutes on the mat. And you're just like, man, yo, this is fucking boring. It's good.
That's every GSP match.
But if you really pay attention, they're fucking going at it. There were counters and counters and counters. Yeah. There was no rest holds in this match. There were actual just holds.
Yeah.
So that's why I like this match so much. I have been real quiet about it because I thought the ending was pretty cool, but I liked it. Ember Moon came out on top, she won, so it keeps her momentum. She's not just another girl who just got beat down by Baszler or whatever, but it also keeps Shayna strong. So,
I make
further
this,
in the storyline,
I made this comment months ago when it was just you and I that one week. Where is it Kyrie? Is it Kyrie Sane pretending to be an MMA fighter or Shayna Baszler, the MMA fighter, pretending to be a pro wrestler? she was not pretending to be a pro wrestler. That was the presentation of Shayna Baszler as if she was in the octagon. And okay. Ember bounced off of that really well. It gave me flashbacks of Angle versus Samoa Joe when they had that shoot MMA fight at Lethal Lockdown inside the cage. That's what that felt like. It felt more of an ultimate fight than it did a women's match. And
yeah,
and I wasn't expecting it. The fact that I wasn't expecting it was refreshing to me.
Which gives you hope maybe for Ronda, but Shayna's on a whole other level because Shayna's actually been wrestling.
She's been in indies for years. Yeah. She's held belts already.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what it's like.
I mean, maybe Ronda's been practicing with Shayna. I mean, you don't know. They do have the performance center. So
I'm just waiting for the meme that says WWE signs Ronda Rousey to full-time contract. She debuts at the Rumble. She doesn't show up on Raw or SmackDown the next day.
Yeah.
Like every full-time.
Yes. Yeah. We'll talk about Ronda, but I want to stick to this match real quick because I'm probably wrong. I felt like there was way too much of Ember being in the arm bar to it be realistic.
That did take too long.
You think so?
Mm-hmm. I don't think so. And especially the way Ember sold it, and especially since Ember was in the Rumble the next day, she was still selling it.
Yeah.
I thought it was perfect.
She was selling the hell out of it. Yeah. So, I mean, that's good. But
she hit the fucking eclipse and couldn't pin her because of it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's,
you would think as an MMA fighter, if that hold's not going to get it done, move on to the next one. And so I kind of think after a while that was a bit too long.
But what I was thinking, if that move's not getting it done, you hold on until it does.
Well, what I was thinking was that, like, I've seen MMA matches where, oh, it got him in an arm bar, boom, okay, that's it, that's the end of the match. Like, half a second. Yeah, like, oh, there's the extension, boom, oh, I'm done. Yeah. But like, oh, there's the extension, I'm still here, let me go to the rope, let me go to this rope, let me roll over and do this, and da 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 da. Like, the arm would have been tore all the way back. I felt like that was kind of giving away the business a little bit there, because it's like
a little.
Yeah, it's like normal when Brock, when he first came back, he used to do the Kimura.
Yeah,
he doesn't do that anymore because it was like, all right, dude, come on. If that was real, you wouldn't be in the match. That'd be a fucking.
And Ronda started in NXT. Randy said probably not because she's just such a big name. Then Seth said Samoa Joe is a big name.
Samoa Joe is
that's cross.
I'm a huge Samoa Joe fan. I can tell my friends that watch ESPN and watch all kinds of sports. Hey man, Samoa Joe. I met Samoa Joe at a TNA. Who the hell's that guy? We didn't even meet Ronda. We met the other three horsewomen at the Ring of Honor show.
The other three, not Ronda.
And the guys were like, "You son of a bitch! You met the horsewomen from fucking UFC." Seth, Samoa Joe, that's not the same thing.
The same people that are mad about Ronda Rousey debuting on the main roster of WWE are the same people that are mad when CM Punk going straight to UFC and not doing any fucking, like, you know, working his way up the ranks. Dude, it's money and it's star power. Nobody else has it. She's instantly the biggest star, women's star in WWE right now. Instantly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Not even close.
Was there any other match on the NXT card that we're forgetting?
Nope, that's it. Just five.
No, right. But I do love the debuts of people in the crowd.
Oh yes, let's talk about that. War Machine.
Everyone basically that was rumored to have been signed.
Yeah, well, and then about it, you were bummed out earlier because they weren't going to be called War Machine. They were just going to be called
Rowan Smith.
But as soon as they showed him, they said War Machine. So everybody up. And this guy Richard O'Shea,
Ricochet.
Oh,
Prince Puma.
Yeah, Prince Puma. He was there. He's smaller. And then I thought he was. Like, he looks bigger than
he said the same thing about Adam Cole.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And it's working. But he's smaller than I thought he was. Even while watching Lucha, even while watching, like, you know, him in New Japan, he just there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and EC3, I have zero opinion because I've known anything about
him. Well, I fucking love EC3. Yeah. He was one of the few things that made TNA good to watch. Yeah, watchable.
That in the promo later years. That they put on WWE's Facebook, the exclusive, his first interview.
Oh, I didn't see that.
He needs some work.
Oh, really?
He does? It didn't. It felt kind of forced. It didn't feel like everything that
I've seen. You're coming from one. Yeah, you go.
Everything I've seen from EC3 and TNA felt like it was him just being himself turned up to 11. This felt like at least he was told bullet points that he has to say it this way, and it just. It's weird
shit,
but that's just one. You don't get out on one strike. You know, three, so we'll let that go.
Okay.
They taped Sanity's Nikki Cross against Lacey Evans. They taped TM61 against the Ely brothers. And if I'm not mistaken, they taped Roderick Strong versus Pete Dunne for the UK title in this episode of TakeOver post. Watch it next week.
Okay.
So that's it for NXT, man. Yeah.
Cool. All right. So then before we get to Rumble, you got New Japan stuff you want to talk about, don't you?
Asshole. I really need to know. I've been like super busy with all the wrestling shit and other stuff personally. I caught a glimpse on Twitter of what the hell happened. I follow Brandi Rhodes on everything, so that's how I know what the hell she does. But mostly the only thing I really have left now is Twitter that I really get on. I don't really get on anything else. So when she posted like a thing of saying like, oh, you know, Kenny had it coming. He got, and I was like, what? And then that's kind of where I left it, because like, you know what? I'm going to let Chris tell me.
New Beginnings in Sapporo, Japan. It's about a week and a half long. The first weekend was last weekend, Rumble weekend. Night one, Minoru Suzuki defeats Tanahashi for the Intercontinental title. Night two, match of the week candidate, Jay White defeated Kenny Omega clean. Switchblade for the U.S. title. That was a – dude, because I'd said, what the fuck's up, Switchblade? The next night when he turned a new dash against Omega, okay, now I know what a Switchblade is. Him beating Omega clean with the Young Bucks at ringside. Just I was watching like, it happen. Yeah, watching it happen. I was like, oh, okay. All right, I can get into this. But then afterwards, Hangman Page comes in the ring and looks at Jay White like, I want a shot. And Kenny Omega's like, you better back up, man. I just lost.
Yeah,
I need my rematch. He respectfully, forcefully gives the belt to Jay, and lets him leave.
It was for the belt.
Yeah,
the belt. Holy shit, I thought it was just like a wow. He lost his belt. It's like
And then here comes Hangman and Kenny getting face to face. Then here comes Cody. Skrull, Page, and Cody against Omega and the Young Bucks. And the Bucks are even trying to separate things. And then Kenny Omega pushes, I think it was Matt, pushes Matt down. And everybody's like, what the fuck, bro? And then Matt and Nick leave. And then Cody turns on Kenny. He attacks Kenny, lays him out with the crossroads. Mm-hmm. Skrull's like, what the fuck you doing? Paige is like, yeah, you're good, man. And then Cody's about to get the chair.
Yeah.
And out comes
Ibushi.
Yeah. Saves the day and everybody splits, and then they wind up teasing that they're gonna get together. Omega's on the ropes, Ibushi like sticks out his hand. Omega's like, nah, and then Ibushi turns back around. Then he turns around again, gives him that cold stare, that come hither,
aye,
those bam,
hungry eyes,
yeah. And they hug and pirate, the little confetti falls, and so the teased reuniting of the golden lovers. Still don't know where the Young Bucks fall in all of this, but yeah, fans were ate that shit.
Yeah, or where Kenny Omega and Bullet Club fit in.
Yeah, because there might still be a rift that could, and we still got a Sapporo of New Beginnings in Sapporo is going to be this Friday night / Saturday morning and Saturday night / Sunday morning, and then after that. That gets built up to the next big show, which is going to be Strong Style Evolved in Long Beach, California, which sold out in 20 minutes.
20 minutes.
And that apparently, rumor has it, that's going to co-main event with Chris Jericho against Tetsuya Naito.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the payoff.
Nice.
When is that?
March 25.
Oh.
Okay,
right before WrestleMania.
Two weekends before WrestleMania. WrestleMania is on the 8th of April.
Yeah. April 8th.
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting stuff. So that, of course, spurred on all the rumors. Like, oh, my God, Kenny Omega kicked out of Bullet Club. He's going to be at the Royal Rumble. Oh, my God, because that's the same thing that happened to AJ Styles. He got kicked out of Bullet Club. Next night, he was on Royal Rumble.
I purposely ignored the dirt sheets this weekend, bro, which I always do on Rumble because of that.
Well, here's why that – I didn't put too much stock into that because was it 2 weeks earlier?
They already announced the extension.
Kenny Omega said, I'm signed with New Japan for a week.
Yeah.
You know? Well, no, 2 years.
For a week, 2 years. Yeah, you're right. Sorry.
Yeah.
So,
if you heard the Talk is Jericho podcast where Kenny Omega's on there, you know his plans. It's like, dude, I'm trying to elevate this shit. And yeah, eventually, if I he didn't say he wouldn't go to WWE. He just said that's not where I want to be right now.
Yeah,
he's very respectful of WWE, which is why I like what I like. But I don't want people to think like, oh, it's WWE or WWE. Japan. Like, dude, why not both? You know what I mean? That's where I'm at. So it's like they're like, hey, cool, that's cool. That's what we do. This is what we do in the competition.
Yeah. So that's all pretty exciting though. So
but that did lead to
Royal Rumble.
Yeah. I stayed away from the internet all fucking I stayed away from fucking Facebook. So I didn't want to know anything. I wanted to go in blind.
That's dangerous.
We ended the show last week talking about will they open the pay-per-view with the women?
Right.
I called the first part right. They opened with the triple with the 2-on-1. Yeah. Were you pleased or disappointed that they ended the pay-per-view with the Women's Rumble? In the moment.
In the moment, I was kind of annoyed, but not for the reasons you think. Hard to show, yeah, the women, you do it. Let it happen. Let the women happen, not force them down, which is why I'm annoyed at the next thing that's going to do.
Hashtag time's up.
Yeah. No, that's cool. But I'm just saying, I was like, dude, let it happen naturally, and this is not. Don't like, hey, this is going on. Hey, this is happening. Let us be like, hey, this is happening. Don't tell us it's happening. Let us realize it's happening. So, but other than that, when it was all said and done, when the Royal Rumble pay-per-view was over, I was like, that was the right decision, and I'm glad they did it.
Mm.
My thing was, started at 6. I watched the triple threat, the handicap match. Cool. I watched the Usos match. This is like 6:40. My daughter gets hungry. I'm like, it's fucking 6:45. The Rumbles, I guess they're going to do them back to back. They're not going to do the men or the women anytime soon. I get in my car. I drive two blocks, tap on the network. Michael Cole saying, oh, the men's Royal Rumble's up next. What the fuck? I fucking haul ass the Burger King, get my daughter's nuggets, haul ass back. Fucking just run in there just in time for the intro. I was like, what the fuck, dude? What the hell? Fucking blindsided me out of nowhere, yeah, man.
I got you.
I wasn't ready.
He wasn't ready.
I wasn't ready. Yeah.
All right.
The moment that the Men's Rumble was announced, I knew Ronda was ending the show.
Yeah.
And I was, and again, I had avoided the internet all day. I knew it. That was, no disrespect to the women in that Rumble. We're going to get to that in a minute. Without Ronda, there's no reason for that for the women's rumble to the end of the show. It would have fallen pretty flat if it wasn't with Ronda.
I don't think it would have fallen flat. I just don't think it would have gotten that much hype.
There you go. Again, that would be hard. Royal Rumble pay-per-view with a women's Royal Rumble.
Agreed.
If you continue the way you are now.
Because you can't bring back 12 All-Stars every year. No. You're going to have to bring in some NXT people. You're going to have to save some of them.
You might not even have to do it every year.
Oh, no, dude.
I'm just saying you might not have to.
You really think that this is one and done, Women's Royal Rumble?
No, I'm just saying it's
I don't think it's one and done.
I'm just saying it's not necessarily forced. It might be on WWE centers. What I'm saying is, if they don't do a women's Royal Rumble next year, I'm not going to be mad, but I'm going to be happy that the first one exists.
Because you're a guy.
No, not even then. I'm.
Ladies, would you be upset if there's not a Royal Rumble next year?
There you go.
Yeah, and it's not because I'm not a man. It's just because okay, cool, we got that aspect out of it, and it doesn't have to happen every year. And then after that, it's okay, fine. Or even then. If there's not a men's Royal Rumble, there is a women's Royal Rumble next year.
If there's not a men's Royal Rumble,
listen to me. If people would just let me goddamn finish. If one or the other, basically what I'm saying is two Rumbles was badass one year. Every year two Rumbles, man, I don't know. It's kind of like how people feel about the third hour of Raw. It's kind of like, dude, to some people it's too much. To some,
Nation Chambers, two Hell in a Cells, two fucking TLCs,
yeah,
eight different, like, yeah, it's that's the new norm with this company.
Yeah, that's
so you're, fine. Unfortunately, you're going to get two Rumbles every year now.
I'm just giving my opinion as far as quality over quantity. I mean, just doesn't have to have to, like, just, we'll get to, fuck it, we'll just go ahead and say it. There's an Elimination Chamber for the women. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean.
You still feel like that's forced?
But and I'm not saying it's a bad thing for these things to happen. I'm just saying they're doing things to do them. not because they got there organically. Like, the first Hell in a Cell match was perfect because it was not like, oh, we have to make this happen. It was like, hey, this.
Fans make that happen. Exactly. We were complaining on the internet, on Twitter, on Facebook. It's like the women's feud, Sasha versus Charlotte at the time, that was the most invested and most built storyline out of everything on that roster. If you were not ending Hell in a Cell with the women's Hell in a Cell, you were doing a disservice. Now, every 5 minutes, let's make history again. Hashtag this. Yeah. Brr, 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 brr. Yeah. Stephanie McMahon showing, like, standing up, pointy, yeah. You know, just to do it instead of just letting shit happen. Like, in that aspect,
that's where I'm trying to get. Maybe I'm not making my point clear, but that's exactly where I'm heading at. I'm heading more of like, dude, if it happens like right now. The Elimination Chamber, since it got announced already, that's fine. But if it were to get announced like in a week or two instead, then it would be cool because on Monday after the Royal Rumble, you saw the best version of Sasha Banks I've ever seen.
Okay, yeah.
And that is natural. And that is like, dude, that shows that an Elimination Chamber match, like style match, can come out of Sasha at least. We know it can come out of Asuka. And we just have to have other girls who can say that kind of match because those matches are fucking brutal.
Well, okay, let's go back to when the first Elimination Chamber match came about. It wasn't like, we're going to have this match. Now, let's just grab six guys to throw in there. No, it was like all these people were contending for the top spot, and it was just a big clusterfuck. And then it's like, you know what? We're going to settle this, and then let's come up with the idea of the Elimination Chamber match. Yeah. So it's like the match was driven by the story. The story's not driven by the match, you know?
Exactly.
I think that's where you guys are trying to get to. You know, let the story culminate to justify having a specific match.
Yep.
The problem with having the way that you have pay-per-views now where said Hell in the Cell is set, like, these are dates on the calendar that you have to fill those spots. It's like, it's a little...
By this logic,
it's
next
a little saccharine, you know?
Next June, we're going to have the Queen of the Ring pay-per-view.
Possibly.
Which I'm not.
Well, I mean, we have the Mae Young Classic.
Exactly, isn't it? Which I'm not complaining about. It's just like, it's something that's really, it's starting to get predictable, which, I mean, isn't necessarily a bad thing when you come to think about it. Like, okay, cool. That means just women's have a fucking, women can do it too.
Right.
It's just like, dude, again, let it happen.
All right. Randy sitting on the couch says this. If you want equality to happen organically, you'll be forever waiting.
Yeah, what were your last words that you just said? What was the last sentence you just said?
Forget everything.
Just let it happen?
Yeah, just let it happen.
Oh, man, women have been waiting for things to happen forever. That's true. And they haven't. So, yeah, that's the head side of the coin. You say, yeah, just let it happen. The women's like, bitch, I've been waiting for decades.
It ain't going to happen. And now we
for the women, it's like you pinch the hose, and all of a sudden you're letting the hose go, and all of it's just coming out. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's feeling like bam, 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 even though technically – it should have always been the norm. Yeah. The problem was you blame Vince for quitting the women's division when freaking Alonza Blaze dropped the belt in the trash in '96. And after that, it feels like we've never gotten back to that moment before Vince killed the women's division.
Okay.
Pre-attitude era.
Yeah.
And we're still building to that. Not to mention, we as a society, guys are dumb.
Yeah.
When half of the women in the Rumble are getting chants for their husbands, we got a long way to go.
Dude, that fucking pissed me off, man.
It was funny the first time, and then by the eighth, I was like, all right, man, Philly. You did so good on Saturday. What the hell, man?
Yeah, dude, it's like, okay, come on, man. Like, Michelle McCool had a fucking strong outing in that Royal Rumble. Dude, she can hang still.
Yeah,
she was a little rusty in the beginning, but the payoff was good.
Yeah, dude, most of the girls that came back from the Divas era, fucking
they learned.
Molly Holly
they look good. Molly Holly looked amazing.
She looked amazing in the ring, and she looked amazing. And dude, I'm gonna say it, Kelly, what the fuck? I was like, hey, she wasn't just she was like
kind of somewhat learned how to wrestle.
Exactly, Tori Wilson.
Yeah.
Was looking, I mean, dude, everybody, but Michelle McCool was the one that stood out to me that really, really, really impressed the dog shit out of me, dude. It was fucking awesome.
All right.
Rough.
To backtrack just a little bit here, to answer your question, Chris, when I first heard that it was announced, when I first heard that it was announced that the women were going to go on last, I was excited. I was like, whoa, holy crap, they're really taking this seriously. I kind of flipped at the end of it, I do think that the men's Royal Rumble match was better than the women's Royal Rumble match on this particular night.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I'm proud that history was made. I'm glad that they rolled out the red carpet and pulled out all the stops and whistles and everything to say that, hey, we're going to have Stephanie McMahon on commentary. We're going to have all this fucking pomp and circumstance go into it. That was great. The match itself didn't feel quite as good to me.
Yeah.
I felt like that there was too much of a reliance on the legends coming back. I would have liked to have seen maybe one or two less and maybe one or two more from CWC or from NXT.
I would say five. You know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because if you're planning on doing more,
name them off. Jacqueline had no business there, in my opinion. Okay. Vicky was fun, but I would rather
in the Rumble.
Okay, so Jacqueline, who else would you have taken out?
I would have kept Molly. I would have kept Trish.
Taking Tori and Kelly.
Oh. Yeah.
I would have saved Tori, Kelly, and Lita for next year's.
Yeah.
It feels like you blew your load too much with all these legends, you know? Yeah. So exactly. You need to spread some of this shit out.
Man. Next year, we're going to
hopefully next year. Summary. Hopefully by next year. Well, pretty healed up and she gets in there for a bit. Hopefully by next year,
Victoria.
Hopefully by next year, Maria already given her birth to her kid and she's already in there. She's back in shape, ready to go.
E. Torres.
Porsche says Maria and Maurice, they're pregnant.
Yeah.
So, you know, Christy Hemme, she just got done giving birth.
Gail Kim. My biggest issue with the Women's Royal Rumble, you hit the nail on the head on the first part. A lot of it was the rush of seeing the women do things. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little bit was seeing how they were going to screw up trying to throw them over the top rope because a lot of it was foreign to a lot of them.
Yeah.
But the biggest flaw for me were the final four. You had three part-timers and Asuka.
Yeah.
You know, a regular wrestling fan watching a male's rumble would be like, oh, they're making it too fucking obvious that it's Asuka.
Yeah.
I wasn't feeling that at the moment because I'm still on the dopamine. I'm still on the high that we're getting a fucking Women's Royal Rumble. Dude. And Trish still looked flawless. I'm still remembering WrestleMania 22. And
She did it to Mickey.
Yeah.
So
that last Rumble match was booked so well. They knew when to have Roman. Like everything. Mm-hmm. The whole thing. This is the first men's Royal Rumble in about 5 years where I feel like from front to back, I think they got it right.
Almost exactly what I said after it was done. I was like, this is the first time that I can remember. And I got back into wrestling in 2011. Since then, I've hated every Royal Rumble outcome. Since then, outcome. I've just been like, oh, God damn it, why? This one, I was okay with, and I was just like, but I mean, come on. All of us were like, you better know.
Came towards the end because you could enjoy the first 45 or 50 minutes, and then when Roman comes out, that's when you're like at the edge of your seat going, oh.
Boy, for about 30 seconds, I was elbowing my wife going, after number 30 came out, I was like, look, I kind of called this shit. I kind of called it Dolph Ziggler's going to fucking win the goddamn Royal Rumble. He's going to fucking do it. Oh, man, he's gone.
Yeah. All right, well, let's talk about the men's Rumble. I think we kind of are already.
Yeah.
I do think it was a better Rumble.
Yeah.
If we are counting Royal Rumbles as match league candidates, I'm not sure if I would say either one was, even though both of them were entertaining. I did like both of them.
So I thought fucking Ziggler was going to win. I was like, oh, I got one over all these motherfuckers. And then 30 seconds later, he's out.
Right.
There you go. Dude. Rey Mysterio
coming back was cool. I liked it.
You forget that Lucha Underground was taped 19 years ago. Yeah. And Rey Mysterio, you wasn't that fat.
Yeah, oh, my God.
I think it was the tights.
He was fit as
I think it was the tights. He wasn't wearing these baggy pants. He was wearing tights.
No,
it was the stem cell research.
Yeah,
that's 80% new Ray.
Also, he's when you're part timer, you don't get drug tested, so he could fucking roid it up. So he's swole as hell, but he has little tiny legs. Yeah, he's top heavy.
Yeah,
he's like Chugdor.
Burninator everywhere.
Yeah, but yeah, dude. As soon as it came out, I was like, no fucking. That was my mark out moment of the night.
And isn't it ironic that
yes, the last Royal Rumble,
the last time we saw him come back, I'm like, oh fuck this guy.
That was his redemption song.
Yeah. Like, okay, well, sorry, Ray. That last time, we kind of fucked up. But this time, we're going to make sure people are going to cheer for you. Okay, thank you. Yeah. I think the men's Royal Rumble match had just enough surprises to come in where, like I said about the women's, like, it had way too many legends come back, and they relied way too heavily on that. The men's had, you know, Ray, and it had Hurricane. And then we had Almas and... who else?
Adam Cole, Adam Cole, baby.
So it's like, okay, cool. That was enough. I felt like it was the right amount.
Yeah, that was tight, dude. It was so well booked.
Uh-huh.
From Rusev Day and fucking Finn Balor starring in the goddamn match, I was like, oh, man, that sucks. That means they're not gonna make it to the end, or Warren was gonna make it to the end and just barely not make it. And I was right, but fuck, dude.
Rusev had a good show.
Rusev had a bad show.
It would have been awesome if Aiden English was number one and Rusev was number two, and we got 90 minutes of straight up karaoke. 90 seconds of karaoke in front of Philly. They would have ate that shit up. Like Elias walking out playing, and he gets interrupted. Dude. So he's, not to fast forward, but he's in the chamber. Yeah. So I want Elias in the chamber to sing during the first 5 minutes of the match. And then when he gets picked, that's when he stops. Yeah. Or Braun just gets so fed up, he breaks out of his chamber just to bring to Elias's and shut him up.
You skip right past something very important, though.
What?
You skip past, Elias started singing. He put a little boot there to Heath Slater.
Oh, man. That needed to go on longer.
That was his start.
Was the shit.
That needed about four or five more.
Hey, give him credit. He stayed there, lasted a long time in the Royal Rumble.
You know, we talk about Vicky, you know, it was okay for Vicky to be in there because that was a comedy thing. I think Slater was a comedy thing in this one. Slater just kept not making it to the ring because everybody just fucking put the boots to him.
Then his redemption when he got rid of Sheamus.
Yeah, Vicky threw pancakes at him.
To revive.
Yeah.
Oh, that was such a good. This was another one of those where I have family over, I have friends, you know, to come watch it with me. Like, this fucking loser still watches wrestling. Come on, let's watch it with them.
Yeah.
And by the end of the fucking night, everyone was like, 3, 2, 1, yeah. Like, everyone was into it because it's the fucking Royal Rumble, dude.
Dude, Philly was practicing for that shit, man. During the pre-show, they had the clock on the wall where the countdown. And when they got to 10 seconds of every minute, they would count down. They would even go,
But. Them boys were counting way too fast. They were counting faster than the goddamn time.
But in the beginning, everyone does that.
Yeah.
That happened in San Antonio. That happened in fucking Orlando.
I can guarantee you they've never taken a defensive driving course in the state of Texas. Because when you do that, they tell you at a stop sign, you don't go 1, 2, 3, 4. You go 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, 3 Mississippi, 4. That's a whole – a Mississippi takes a second to say.
You Mexican.
Dude, it was such a good fucking Rumble, man. It was awesome. I loved it.
What'd you think about the Kofi spot?
It was fun. They're getting kind of old.
That needs to be the last one.
It should be the last one. He should win it next year.
He should be in the final four at least, just to tease.
Yeah.
And have the New Day out ringside. Yeah.
If Santino can be a tease, Kofi could be a tease.
Yeah.
Especially now with the brand split, you could have him on the B show for the title. Why not?
You know, we didn't even talk about Naomi. Naomi doing the
Kofi. That's too forced.
Yeah,
that was forced.
Yeah. So like
somebody has to do it for the women's.
No, we don't need that.
They did it. What I did love is who threw him out? Jinder eventually threw him out, right? Kofi, or does that
He came back in?
Yeah, Almas. Almas threw him out.
Yeah, Jinder threw him out.
He's throwing him towards the New Day, and he just went the opposite.
Yeah,
exactly. That's what I love. That he's like, I'm gonna throw him this way. They're like, no, man, he can get around the other side.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
Yeah,
it was a good Rumble, man.
Now, we normally don't count Rumble matches for match of the year or match of the week or whatever, but you were saying maybe we should. Neither one is my match of the week because I think there's other matches that are better than it. Not saying that this match was bad. Neither Rumble match was
compared
bad.
Compared to the last 4 years, you're still on
that
high. It's like,
I won't think it's fair to put it in the conversation for the week because none of the other matches, how amazing they were, could live up to the hype of that Royal Rumble.
Okay.
So like, I'm just going to have to just like, that was an awesome Rumble. It's the best Rumble I've seen in a long time. I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you want to go to the next Rumble or do you want to go to the next
tag,
match?
Which, where are you? Did the women's Rumble? Yeah, which tag match did you prefer?
I didn't really talk about it.
Well, did you want to say something else about the women's Rumble?
No, I just wanted to, it was really, I loved the idea of it the whole time there was happening. Okay. I was like, dude, fuck yeah, this is awesome. And they didn't, I can't think of any bad, like, elimination, which was my fear of, like, man, these girls aren't even tall enough for the first third rope and this and that.
No. There was a lot of over the top then on the apron.
Yeah.
And then
girls just using the turnbuckle to hop. And I'm like, okay, come on.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, it wasn't as bad as I was fearing that it might have been. So okay. That's good. Did you see the Time's Up thing with Lita did?
Yeah.
That was cool.
That was cool.
She
apparently also had China written across her arm like
that. I didn't see that.
I didn't see it either until somebody had a still shot saying, hey, look, she wrote.
Speaking of that, Lita paid tribute to that. Somebody paid tribute to Lita this weekend.
Oh, yeah?
Zelina Vega.
How so?
She wore the red, like when she used to come out with S.A. Rios.
Oh, did
the
she?
The little red thing she pointed out. And
oh, damn. She, I didn't catch that.
She was like, I'm glad somebody noticed it. Yeah, I was paying tribute to Lita. Like the old school, like the original Lita.
Okay. Which is cool. I didn't catch it, but okay.
Yeah. I did not watch the tag team match of Rollins and Jordan against the Bar. I was doing laundry and I didn't care to watch
the match. That match, the crowd was gone.
Yeah, you.
Was the one after the men's Rumble. Right after the Rumble.
That's the only moment where I actually, for everything cool about the women and the moment and the match itself, and we'll talk about the ending of the pay-per-view. That was the one moment where I felt bad that we couldn't end the show with the men's Rumble because we finally got an ending that everyone liked.
Yeah.
You know?
And with Shinsuke. We haven't even mentioned him, and he's the one who fucking won it. Shinsuke won the Royal Rumble.
Was badass. I felt bad seeing it now because when it happened, when there was a 3-on-3, my friend was like, look, it's the new. I was like, dude, there's only one of those motherfuckers that isn't at least 37 years old. Mm-hmm. So it's not new and old. It's Shinsuke and Bat are both 37.
Yeah. It's Vince's guys versus Triple H's guys almost. Yeah.
That's what I loved about it. It's just like, it was a passing of the torch, but it wasn't an age passing of the torch. It was just like a era more of thing than anything. So that was cool. Shinsuke winning was awesome, and what I loved, if we'll talk about it, you know, when we get to SmackDown, is they're making him fucking, they're pushing him, and which is good. So, are we not gonna talk about the handicap match?
We'll talk about it. Okay. Did the right person win? What was Shinsuke the right person to give it to?
Now that I know the Elimination Chamber for sure is a Raw thing,
So AJ versus Shinsuke, unless there's any other shenanigans, which I don't think there will be, but unless there's any other shenanigans, we're getting AJ versus Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah.
We good with that?
Yeah.
Yeah? I'm really good with that. Yeah. I saw the Wrestle Kingdom match. It was great. It was one of our match of the years.
Yeah.
Well, it was a pick for one of our match of the years, wasn't it? Yeah.
It's Canada. Yeah. I've completely accepted the fact that we're not ending the show with it.
Yeah.
So stick it to it. Open it.
Yeah.
Open WrestleMania with that and drop the mic.
Before the Rumble, I watched this thing on the WWE's YouTube saying where like they have the superstars from last year rewatch the Royal Rumble. And like, oh, look, this is where I did this. Randy Orton won me over so much watching this Royal Rumble because he was like, hey, yeah, look, this, I did this, this is that. Hey, look, number 30, Roman Reigns. Hey, look, what I did. I eliminated Roman Reigns and to headline WrestleMania. And Roman Reigns headlined WrestleMania last year, basically saying, fuck me, you know?
Yeah.
we know it's still not going to, you know, headline WrestleMania.
Well, just because Roman didn't win the Rumble doesn't mean he's not going to headline WrestleMania.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. The original Rumble thing was that. You will headline WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But right now, dude, that Raw brand stuff's getting interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
Because after watching Raw, this was the first time where I'm being a skosh optimistic that we might not get Lesnar versus Roman after all.
Why is that?
Braun!
Yeah.
Over like fucking Rover, dude.
Yeah. He did one of the corniest, dumbest shit ever. He always does. He does cartoonish, dumb shit, and we're like, yeah! We're like fucking Ultimate Warrior all over again, dude. Yeah.
But here's the better part. They're realizing that there's more to the person that you can get out of Braun Strowman. Another moment that I thought was fucking entertaining was a backstage promo for the Mixed Match Challenge.
Okay, yes.
With Alexa and Braun. Yes. I shared this on our Facebook page. They gave each other shirts, and Braun's like, hold on to this. Let me take this off real quick. Like a fucking Velcro wallet. It was gone like that.
Yeah.
And he's trying to put it on, and he's stuck. Yeah. And it's like a one boob thing. Would have made Janet Jackson proud, but it looked like it worked.
Yeah.
And then Alexa's wearing the dress because it got him a fucking 3X. He got her 3X. I'm like, oh, dude,
yeah, he got something.
There's something you can. He's a character right now that everyone is liking, but you this year could be the year that Braun becomes the superstar.
There was one
you can hang the next 10 years of this company on.
If there was one thing on commentary that bothered me though, Michael Cole said it because he did his power slam one time on Lesnar, and instead of pinning him, he picked him up again. Michael Cole goes, "You can't pin Brock Lesnar with just a power slam, motherfucker. That's his move. You don't downplay his move like that." That was bad. That was a bad decision. Cole. That Michael Cole made by saying that.
Yeah. Damn it, Cole.
Yeah.
All right. The triple threat at Rumble.
The handicap match?
Yeah.
Oh, no, the triple threat match.
Yeah. The triple threat. The knee to the side of Brock's head.
God damn.
And then Brock giving Braun the receipt with a straight punch in the side of the face.
That match was ugly. In a good way, but still.
It went on a little longer than I wanted it to go because it was like, it started bam, bam, bam. And then after that, I was like, oh man, this match is kind of, it was kind of like how you said about the match about NXT in the main event. It was like, hey, man, it's kind of going too long. Oh, it's over. Okay, good, good, good. I was about to say it went too long.
Okay.
That's kind of where that match went. It was brutal.
It was brutal. It was good, but it was brutal.
My biggest problem with that match has been my biggest problem with Lesnar for the past maybe a year and a half.
Which?
One-on-one matches, you're like at the edge of your seat because Paul Heyman's promos or Brock Lesnar's selling does so good a job that, holy shit, Samoa Joe could beat him.
Yeah.
Holy shit, Braun Strowman can beat him. Holy shit, somebody, AJ Styles could beat him. But when it's multi-man, I already know Lesnar's walking away with the belt. You know, and the more that match went, the more I was like, you know what? Yeah, Brock's winning.
Kane's taking the fall.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Yeah, we knew that.
Because we got to protect Braun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Kane, fuck him.
You know? Yeah, it was a necessary match and it happened and it's good. Whatever.
Okay. That was probably, aside from the two tag matches, the least consequential match, I would say.
Yeah.
Did we talk about the SmackDown tag match? I don't even remember.
But it was nothing to write home about. Yeah, you don't. Two out of three falls.
Yeah,
you basically defeat the stipulation, the purpose of the stipulation.
Actually, I like the fact that it was 2-0.
Yep.
Because that you never see that.
Rarely.
So, yeah,
rarely.
I get that. But it's like, I like that too. Everyone expected, 1-1, and then this and that. This one you get out of the way, that's fine too. But it's kind of like, you know?
What's this?
I think you have to have that at some point. Like, once
it's every so out.
Often. Yeah. That way you don't get too used to, it's always going to be 1-1. Now, I was more surprised than anything when it wound up being 2-0. Holy shit, okay.
Yeah, 8 minutes later, I was like, wait, it's over? Fuck.
Yeah.
I was probably just annoyed. That's when I was doing the drive to Burger King to get another.
Yeah, you wanted that match.
I missed the whole match. I didn't see it. The start of the night was actually really good. The handicap match. I didn't think it was going to be good.
Yeah.
Dude, when it was on, it was on. Sammy. Every time I see Sammy and AJ Styles wrestle together, it's phenomenal. It's fucking awesome, dude. It's really, really good.
I get that reference.
Yeah, I love watching them two wrestle. Kevin Owens, man, if you're just, you know, if you're a nerd and you follow the news, you know he's hurt right now. Mm-hmm. You can tell. And they're protecting the fuck out of him. But, yeah, instantly, as soon as the match ended, me and my wife both almost simultaneously, hey, he never tagged him. Like, it was like, plain as day, which sucks.
Yeah,
because they just did that with the Usos like a month ago. It's like they're forgetting.
Yeah, on SmackDown, we fast forward to SmackDown. On SmackDown, they're like, "Hey, it was the wrong guy. This and that, whatever." And then I was sitting on the couch right next to Porsche, and I like stopped and said, "Is that what we just had a couple of weeks ago when we reversed the decision because of the referee? This and that." And like,
now they're saying the referee thing is final. It's just such bullshit.
It was stupid. But whatever, I'm used to wrestling insulting our intelligence and backtracking.
So next week, Sammy versus Kevin for number one contender. How do you think that's going to play out?
I think
they tease tension.
I think that they're throwing us a red herring with the tension. Kev's going to get in there, and Sammy are going to get in there, and they're going to still be as angry with each other as they were the night before, and just kind of play that up. And then, they're going to like
lay down and put one a shoulder over each other.
Yeah,
and
or something like that.
It's going to be a triple threat match.
Halfway competitive match or something stupid like that.
Fastlane, the next SmackDown?
Yeah, Fastlane. Yeah.
SmackDown.
There's going to be weird ass shenanigans.
It's going to be I think it's going to be a triple threat match for the belt, which that'll do the more dissension thing, too. It'll be another either a finger poke of doom kind of deal or just like lay down.
Yeah.
One of the two.
Or maybe just like a straight up DQ, because maybe they do hate each other that much and this is a total break.
I want to do something and talk about Raw and SmackDown at the same time, because they were kind of Raw did something new, SmackDown did something new. Raw's was cool. They have a new look, which is like it does cool thing and it looks clean.
With the graphics,
look at the graphics right away.
Yeah.
SmackDown has new graphics and they're fucking stupid. God damn, I feel
what graphics.
All right.
Did you watch SmackDown?
Yeah. So the part where the Nakamura words
Rockstar.
Oh, that was Rockstar.
It said Rockstar.
Oh, I thought it said Nakamura. It would have made sense if it said Nakamura.
It said the word Rockstar. When the Usos were saying lockdown.
And the cell I love that.
You loved it? I thought that was stupid as hell.
When Daniel Bryan was
here's the problem. Again, like I mentioned earlier, guys are dumb. Right now,
and you are a guy.
Right now. Casual wrestling fans are dumb. That's why when they make the promos, they have to flash all these words. It's literally like we're living in the Idiocracy movie.
Yeah.
Like eventually we're going to have 8 different screens on fucking WWE television because that's how we're going to have to take everything because people are so fucking dumb.
Yeah.
So that's why they have to present it that way.
I mean, like, come on. Are we really that dumb? Dude, does WWE have to be insulting casual
audience
much?
Need... Dude, you tell a casual audience for 6 months, hey, we're changing Raw from 2 hours to 3 hours. Guess what? Nobody watched the first hour because people fucking forgot. 6 months later, because people fucking forgot. Oh, we're going SmackDown Live. Guess what? For the first 4 months, people fucking forgot because you know why? Casuals are fucking stupid.
Okay.
That being said, I love the red and white, like simple. Like, get rid of that shitty, like, Ram logo that they had before.
It's
just clean. Like, I liked it.
It was clean, dude. I really liked it. Raw.
That's SmackDown. The words over the promos, the graphics over the promos, the fucking Raw.
The selfie promos for everything. Dumb. I hate that they're, like, putting in big, bold letters the person that's about to talk and then the shitty ass. Like, the person. It's okay if you do it for some, but don't do it for everything. SmackDown, I got that shit, like, fucking 2.5 hours. What a breath of fresh air when Mustafa Ali during 205 just went like this. In front of a set camera. That was like, oh my God, finally something refreshing. Mustafa just sat there like an episode of Real World, just sat in the confession office, in the confession room, and just started going.
Mm.
You know, everything else just feels like fucking, it feels like 18-year-olds are in charge of production.
The first time I saw it, it was the Finn thing, and I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. That's cool. When Cena did it, I was like, okay, I think it's getting kind of much. And then it just SmackDown just like, all right, that's enough.
Yeah. it was too much.
The only one I liked is fucking Akira Tozawa dressed up as Vince McMahon firing people and then doing the walk. That's it, dude. Everything else, it's already getting worn out.
There's actually two things that do when they're like, they were both in the same feud. I'm not even sure if Bobby Roode was an actual one.
The calendar.
Oh. The NSF day, and then ends up being glorious. The other one, Rusev Khan and Bob Roode. Like, it's just fucking goddamn Rusev. He won the match.
Happy Rusev.
Happy Rusev Day, guys. I forgot to mention.
Machka.
SmackDown had a lot of just kind of bullshit going down. Like, it was like necessary bullshit just to get, hey, by the way. Ty Dillinger got fucked. Oh, let's give him a match and let's get him get buried by Baron Corbin. Just a bunch of shit like that.
I'm sorry, guys. The last 3 or 4 months, SmackDown's been background noise. I know I'm supposed to watch it for the show. Right now, AJ and Nakamura, the build to that is the only thing that's hooking me. It's weird to say because not to cross streams here, but everybody was already jumping the gun. Oh, man, Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte and all that shit. It's like, nah. You sign a person like Ronda Rousey, you're putting her on your A show that just had your 25th anniversary.
Yeah.
But now in hindsight, while we're having this conversation, fuck, I think SmackDown needs something like Ronda to keep my attention for the whole show. Because that show, dude, I was watching The Flash with Bill Goldberg as a guest. I was watching fucking Apprentice with Donald Trump mouthing off to the entire country because we're a bunch of fucking idiots. And then fucking SmackDown was like on my mobile phone because I finally found a stream on Facebook to watch it. Nice. And it's just like, it's just background. It's not primary watching for me. The problem is, I don't know what it'll take for it to be primary watching for me.
Is it going
to
be Ronda Rousey?
No, I don't even know.
Honestly, I think it's just going back to basics on how SmackDown Live was so good by just putting out badass matches. What made Raw so good this week is we had a bunch of matches.
A bunch of matches.
We had Sasha versus Asuka.
Match of the week candidate.
Match of the week candidate. I agree.
Instantly.
Then there was
Finn versus Cena, first Finn time ever. That was really good.
Started on that one.
Oh, right, we're going to.
I'm going to end on that. We're fucking in on that. We got Elias versus Van Hardy, which is terrible, but you know, whatever, he won.
Roman versus The Miz.
That was a potential match to be a candidate too. That was fucking good. That was a badass match. Dude, we had some bad Raw gets it right now.
It's weird. For Roman being built as being protected because that's the guy that's going over Lesnar, apparently.
Yeah.
He lost to The Miz twice.
Yeah.
Shoulders down. If we wind up getting Roman winning the title, I want the year to end with the Miz Roman feud for the Universal title. It's due.
At least,
your 2017 Rolling Stone Wrestler of the Year, who's been making that brand relevant, you need to give him at least one shot. Because there's no fucking chance in hell if the Miztourage was 30 people NWO deep, the Miz will never, ever go over Brock Lesnar. Roman twice.
Yeah.
It's believable for Roman to lose to The Miz and have him at least one more run with the red belt.
Man, what kind of day and age are we living in where now it's like, finally, man, I really want the Miz. Dude. Man, I saw that shit fucking WrestleMania 28. Y'all were 2000 and late with that.
Dude. So for...
I don't like agreeing with you.
The Elimination Chamber, we got up-and-coming Braun Strowman. Got up and coming Elias. You got John Cena, motherfucking the right in the middle of the Elimination Chamber. Because we had a chance to get Finn Balor,
that
redemption song, and potentially what I said, man, you know what? Don't have him win the Rumble, have him win at the Elimination Chamber at least, or do something.
All right.
I got something for you for Finn, but we'll get there when we get there.
Finn lasted 57 minutes and some odd seconds in the Rumble. Was entered at number one, almost won the goddamn thing. Had a great, strong showing. Then the next night, he loses to John Cena
with a super AA though.
A super
after an AA that he kicked out of.
You're right. That's the only thing that's saving it. Took a super AA. Man, is it a waste? Finn didn't win the Rumble, and he lost to Cena.
It can be a waste if they don't do one thing, and that's go full on Prince David Finn Balor, full on Bullet Club Finn Balor, full on. Asshole Finn Balor after this. Him getting tired of getting pushed over. Heel, yeah.
Just make him a heel.
Make him a heel. I hate seeing heel because it never happens.
You think it's going to be like a heel by way of losing so much he gets pissed off?
He's already been there.
How can you tell if he always walks out with that shit-eating grin?
That's true.
I have a plan for that.
He doesn't need to not smile. That makes him even better of a heel. He comes out like, fuck all of y'all. I'm the bad motherfucker. I'm the sexiest man alive. You know what I mean?
Well,
you don't like me, but your girlfriend.
He's never
likes
met me.
Yeah, you don't like me, but your girlfriend likes me. That could be his line right there.
I'm gonna sip my tea.
So yeah,
no, I'm gonna jump. I'm gonna hit this down the head real quick. You do with Finn what you're trying to do with another division. I am ending the Cruiserweight tournament at WrestleMania. Hideo Itami is winning the Cruiserweight title over Finn Balor. That's how you turn Finn heel. That's how you get ratings for 205. And hopefully that's a match that's not going to be on the fucking pre-show. A guy that's listed as a Cruiserweight on 2K18, Finn Balor, with Hideo Itami. Hideo Itami's wrestled Finn twice and hasn't beat him.
You know
Hideo
what?
Itami, the guy that fucking brought Finn into NXT.
You know what?
Hideo versus Finn.
You know what? I would be okay with this if I had enough faith in WWE to make the cruiserweight division a division that is worthy of having main event status. If we want to sit here and talk about, oh, the women got the main event, it's a big thing for the women, this and that, and we want to treat WWE more like UFC, where it doesn't matter if you're in the women's division, if you're a heavyweight, if you're a lightweight,
flyweight,
whatever, yeah. If your match is badass, you're going on last. So, you know what? Fine. If WWE could treat their divisions like that, where the hottest thing is this particular feud in this particular division, boom, let's do it. So if you have Finn fucking Balor, Hideo Itami battling out over the cruiserweight title, and you give that as much respect as you give the heavyweight title, universal title, intercontinental title, whatever, then let's do it. But
they won't.
WWE has a track record of not doing that shit, and they probably ain't going to do it until Vince McMahon is knee-deep in XFL, and he's not going to be doing a goddamn thing on Monday nights other than playing with the foosball and let Triple H take care of stuff. And then, if Triple H does it, then maybe we'll have
it. And even then, he won't. Vince made it clear in the XFL meeting that he's going to have people in charge running that.
That's true, but look at Rumble.
Yep.
That wasn't a Vince show, man.
No.
Everything on the... Hey. It's been said many times, WWE is a big show for one man in the audience. That doesn't mean that one man starting to get advice from others like, hey, you know what? You might have been missing out on this. Hey, you know what? You might have been missing out on this. Hey, you know what? You might have been missing out on this. And he's starting to come around.
So but you think Vince is coming around?
Well, I think he's coming around.
You think Vince is coming around?
I'm not saying he's coming around to fucking Hideo and fucking Finn for the cruiserweight in the fourth hour. Because, but, dude. Next week's Cruiserweight Tournament, we're getting fucking Roderick Strong against Hideo Itami.
Okay, rewind. I don't watch 205 Live. What the fuck happened?
So, we so cutting nuts here.
Yeah.
Fucking, who's got the sauce? He's gone.
Yeah.
So, the title's vacant. The new manager, it's Rockstar Spud from TNA, who's now super porn star Drake Maverick. He is making a 16-man tournament for the new Cruiserweight Champion. And the finals... is at WrestleMania. So 16 guys. Fucking 205 Live doesn't even have 16 guys. Not all of them. They're going week by week. And they've announced next week it's Lindsay Dorado against Kalisto and Roderick Strong from NXT against Hideo Itami.
Damn, you're going to have Roderick Strong to debut just to lose to Itami?
You had, this past week, Tyler Bate versus Cedric Alexander in a match that surprised the holy fuck out of me. And I am willing to name that as a match of the week candidate for myself.
Wait, who?
Tyler Bate.
Mustache.
Right? Mustache.
Uh-huh.
Cedric Alexander.
That was not the match.
I mean,
TJP.
TJP, sorry. Cedric Alexander was in the other one.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. But you're right. Yes. Oh,
that's what we kind of didn't even fucking exist.
Yeah,
the only thing that killed me was that audience shat all over it.
Keep in mind, this is the fucking fourth night of fucking wrestling and for the same city.
That's true.
Whose fault?
That's true. But it was still a good ass fucking match.
Yeah.
Okay. Tyler Bate being injured but still trying to pull off that, well, injured, but selling the hell out of the leg and still pulling off that Phoenix Splash. The way that TJ kept trying to get him into those knee bars, fuck, dude, I was very surprised by that. It was great. I freaking loved it. It was probably one of the better matches of the week, I'd say. And this was a week that was chock full of great matches.
Yeah, great matches.
So if you missed that, you really are doing yourself a disservice. Please go back to 205.
Bigger disservice would be after all you've done to get Johnny Gargano where he is now and labeling him in this Cruiserweight tournament. I do not want to see Gargano in this Cruiserweight
tournament. Again, that goes back to how much respect do you want to give your certain divisions. If you want to treat it like UFC, where it doesn't matter what weight it is, if it's a good match, it's a good match. And that's the thing. WWE has this problem of the big guys are the big guys, and they have the big title. And if you're a little guy, well, if you're good enough, you could get the big guy title, and the weights don't really matter. But if you're going to have a division that's based
but
only
that
on
takes
weight,
a lot. You got to sell a lot of merch or have a really good best friend that dies.
Yeah. I know. I mean, you got to – the way it's structured, I wish WWE is structured a little bit more the way that New Japan is trying to do their stuff, where they have the junior heavyweight, they have the heavyweight, and then they have open weight.
Yeah.
You know? I think maybe if they wanted to do the same type of thing, you could have the WWE title not be a WWE title, make it the World Heavyweight title, mm-hmm. and Universal just be Universal, all of the everybody, it doesn't matter. So that's your open weight, it doesn't matter. And then your cruisers, and then, like, I guess you could do a United States Intercontinental. I don't know, it doesn't really make sense.
Well, one of the best things they did was take, I think it's backwards. I think one of the best things they did was, or the smartest thing they did was take the name heavyweight out of the name of WWE Championship. Yeah. Because
then that allows it to be an open weight.
Oh, actually, not to beat a dead horse. Yeah. But what they should be doing,
that's mean.
What they should be doing, they should be calling it the Men's WWE Championship.
And the Women's WWE Championship?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Embrace the change.
Yeah.
Don't half-ass this shit.
Yeah.
You've been doing that for too long. That's what got you in this mess.
Yep. So you had the men's title, the women's title, then, like, what? Cruiser heavy.
The and gender then non-conforming it. Title.
Ah, and then the gender fluid title.
Gender fluid, yeah.
Yeah.
Then you have the Latinx belt for both genders whatever genders you want.
Yeah, there you go.
As long as you don't hinder the gender.
God damn it.
Did we cover pretty much everything that needed to be covered? Is there anything else?
No, we didn't even touch Ronda Rousey, dude. We kind of, hey, we're going to get to that. Dude. We just.
All right, so Ronda Rousey, she showed up at the end of the women's
Asuka Royal Rumble. Asuka wins the Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm. Watching it in real time, before seeing anybody else's complaints or praises on Facebook, Twitter, what have you, when I saw it, I didn't like it.
Ooh.
I felt like, hey, sweetie, you're about like 10 minutes late. The match already ended. Sorry. Get the fuck away. You know, that's kind of how I felt.
Hmm.
But then a lot of people were like, oh, yeah, Ronda Rousey, this is great. This is the best Royal Rumble of all time. And da, 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 this and that. Like, okay, people are really cheering for this and really, really like it. But you realize she wasn't in the match. Like, I kind of felt like, who the hell is this hussy think she is to walk on in after the match? Get into the ring.
Ruin Asuka's moment.
Ruin Asuka's moment. Point at the sign and expect to have a fucking Royal Rumble match or a WrestleMania match just because she's asked that she wants it without even having a damn match on her. I'm like, come on, man. I mean, is that how I'm supposed to feel? Is that what WWE's trying to make me feel like? Because if it is, they did a good job.
They're trying to make you feel the exact opposite.
I got a hot take for you. Go for it. You just bashed how you want things to be organic. You don't want things to be forced.
Yeah.
We got all this stuff coming up down the pipeline. If there is 1 year and only 1 year, this WrestleMania, the undefeated Asuka versus Ronda Rousey is a viable pay-per-view closing match.
Yeah.
I will not be disappointed at all if the last match of WrestleMania is big fight money, Ronda Rousey going up against the undefeated Asuka.
But that's for that to happen, that means Ronda Rousey has to already be the champ going into Mania.
And that's the point. Everybody's saying, nah, you ruined the moment. Nah, you haven't wrestled anything. Nah, you haven't done nothing. Have the full-time Ronda Rousey win the Elimination Chamber. That's how you earn shit.
Damn. Her first match will basically be an Elimination
Chamber.
Yeah. Because we don't know what kind of contract she has. Like, is it like a Brock Lesnar type of contract?
Brock Lesnar's not a full-time.
Exactly.
So
she wasn't on Raw.
Yeah. Or SmackDown. Yeah. So we still don't know what brand she's on. Mm-hmm. But the moneymaker, you have Ronda win the Elimination Chamber and then have her lose to Asuka at Mania just so you can turn Ronda.
It's just easy. So you can have Baszler come out and just like...
Yeah, and there's where your four horsewomen starts.
Can we talk about how kind of bullshit the circumstances of the Elimination Chamber are this year?
Okay.
Normally, Elimination Chamber matches for the WWE title. The women's is.
The men's is not.
The men's is...
Men's is the number one contender.
Yeah, Brock Lesnar is going to be on a fucking island until April.
Let me bring something else to your attention.
I'm stealing my...
Let me bring something else to your attention. I'm going to add a cherry on top of my pick. You have Ronda Rousey win the Elimination Chamber as the main event of your pay-per-view in fucking Las Vegas. That's where the pay-per-view is at. How else are you going to headline Las Vegas with a UFC chick that headlined across the street at the MGM Grand, headline at Elimination Chamber and be your number one contender?
Another
be your champion.
Another little asshole thing WWE could be doing. Once the Elimination Chambers, once they're all like decided, they can say, and it's gonna be in Vegas. They can be, see everybody can say that they're all in. Take a little.
Oh no, dude! Alexa and Braun after the mixed match challenge when the crowd was trying to make something out of those two as a couple. Yeah. And Braun's like, yeah, I think Alexa's kind of cute. And then Alexa's like, yeah, I think Braun's kind of cute too. And the crowd's chanting yes. And then she says, and Alexa says, yeah, Braun and I, we're going all in. And the crowd went, woo!
So here's how
match of the week candidate, mixed match challenge.
Oh, I haven't seen it. What? Yet.
I haven't seen it either. Yet. Really?
It's a double-edged sword. I should be hating this because the quality of the promos, them being themselves, just having fun for charity, them being organic, that shit should be on USA Monday and Tuesday. Regardless, just because I'm not going to get mad that I'm going to eat an apple because eventually it's going to be a fucking core. I'm enjoying it for what it is. Mm-hmm. And right now, those 3 weeks have been more must-see for me than either Raw or SmackDown.
Wow.
Okay. I've seen two of them.
It's 20 minutes. It's short. The fans are relaxed. It's fun. They're all enjoying themselves. Yeah. It's for a good cause. And I don't know what the fuck is going on. I can't book anything that's going on right now.
That's fucking cool.
And then next week we're getting Naomi and Jimmy, the husband and wife, against Goldust and his new partner, Mandy Rose, because Alicia Fox went out. So Rose Gold.
Alicia Fox got hurt? Or?
She had a broken tailbone.
Yeah, broken tailbone. Ooh. They were practicing for the Rumble match. She got thrown out over the top.
The tallest one.
That sucks. Yeah. I need to get back on
broken tailbone.
Dirt sheets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So she broke her ass.
She broke her ass.
God damn.
She didn't even got one.
That's why she
broke it. That's why she broke it. She had more fucking
poor irony board.
My reaction to the Rouse thing again. It was at the end of the night, so everyone had already again, you're right. The Rumble match ended. Everyone that came over went home. It was three of us left watching it because it was way after the match was over. It was my wife and my sister-in-law's boyfriend, who's a big UFC guy and a wrestling guy. So he was just like, he was watching. And as I was watching, I was like, it was kind of like cringeworthy watching her come out, but not in like a, oh, that's terrible. It's kind of like, I don't know how I fucking feel right now. It's like, it
was. That was like that Simpsons Family Guy crossover where you don't know what the fuck you're going to get.
You're like, oh. And then the song, great.
I think they did get good music for her.
That's her
and
song.
She got Ronda, for UFC. And she got Roddy Piper's jacket that his son, that his jacket, son gave, which, gave her before.
Everyone was shit like, oh, I can't believe that. Dude, first of all, then even the name in general, he blessed her with.
Yeah, yeah. So, I have no problem with
she's
that.
She's Roddy
and she's a hardcore fan. Like, if it's an outsider just trying to do a cash grab, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But she goes to shows. After the pay-per-view went off the air, she's there ringside on the ramp, hugging and high-fiving and taking selfies with fans, dude.
Yeah.
She's legit. This is what she wants to do.
Which was the detrimental because she was smiling too much, in my opinion.
Yep.
Unless we
figure out what we're going to do with her, because all we know is that from UFC, Ronda Rousey's a sexy-ass woman that can beat the shit out of you, but she also likes Dragon Ball Z.
Yes.
But we don't know, in the world of WWE, is she a face or is she a heel?
Yeah.
And we still don't know.
She knows how to point.
Sign.
That's a sign there.
Yep, there it is again.
But yeah, when it came out, it was like, all right. And it was
and Brood.
Yeah.
But!
So yeah, that was this week in wrestling.
Wow, are we done?
Almost.
What else we got?
We need to lay it out on the table, man.
Okay.
So we're gonna try something different this week since we've had 4 nights worth of fucking wrestling.
Scott, what's up, man? He joined us. He said that she had that Finn Balor grin.
Yeah. From number 3 to number 1, your match of the week candidates, and then your pick. So, you guys have a list?
Mm-hmm.
What's your number 3?
Aleister Black versus Adam Cole, baby.
That's your number 3.
Number 3.
Ooh. Number 2.
I have a very, very, very fucking hard time deciding. But my number 2, I really want to put it as number 1, but I can't. Number 2 is Asuka versus Sasha Banks. That's the best women's match I've seen in a long time. That match... Okay.
I haven't seen that passion out of Sasha since TakeOver Respect.
Exactly. That's the Sasha I've been wanting a fucking season she got called up.
Yeah.
That's Sasha. And Sasha from the Rumble, being a fucking bitch in the fucking Rumble, just fucking tossing, like, just being smart in the whole Rumble, t- tossing out Trish like, fuck you, Trish, you ain't nobody.
Yeah.
And then even after, yeah, even after Asuka won, cutting her off, saying, okay, whatever. This is a Sasha that I've been wanting to see.
Aside from the phantom kicks that she gave Lita.
Oh, God,
yeah. And receiving that phantom kick from Asuka out in the ring.
Yeah.
Phantom Airlines.
You shouldn't be laughing at that.
Hey, shut up.
Yeah, neither should I. So there's a reason I wear hats.
I thought you, because you were the general manager at Lynch.
No. But no, dude, that match was fucking good. It worked out so good that we thought Sasha fucked up and hit her head. It was a badass move. Yeah. She went out, Asuka kicked her in the head, and she went down, she bam, hit her head, and we were like, oh, fuck, Sasha's really good at making us think she hurt herself. That's badass. That's good. Yeah. That's what Lita used to do all the time. Then we got the Asuka lock back. We got it back. Yeah. I've been bitching about it. Like, what the fuck? Why doesn't she have a Ronda Rousey armbar?
Yeah.
No, she has the Asuka lock back, and it was fucking cinched in. It was good. It was a good-ass match. Number one, dude, if this isn't y'all's number one, get out of my apartment.
It's my apartment.
My apartment now. Johnny Gargano was in Almas. Just from beginning to end, fucking, he came out with the mask, the mascara, the fucking, was it the sombra mask?
Yeah.
The mariachi.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, it was so.
And the mariachis had lucha masks?
Yes, they were probably wrestlers. But yeah, they're fucking, but it was, oh God, that from beginning to end, that match was just, The crowd started chanting Mamma Mia in the middle of the fucking song, middle of the fucking match. It was so good, dude. Yeah. It was just, that match was badass. That's my match of the week pick.
Abel,
all right,
you're number three.
My number three, I will go with TJP versus Tyler Bate.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's gonna be my number three. I like the submissions, how he transitions the submissions. Tyler Bate getting out of everything and still trying to do his offense, trying to pull off the Tyler driver and not being able to because he's not able to sustain all the weight on the leg. Still going up to the rope, jumping one-legged up the turnbuckles just to try to pull off the Phoenix Splash. And then nobody's home because he took too long because his leg hurt. And oh God, that was great. Because of that match, I'm hereby snubbing, I guess, the Aleister Black match. That was on my list. That got bumped off. Oh. Aleister Black and no. So number three is the Cruisers.
Okay.
Number two, Sasha Asuka.
Sasha Asuka.
Everything that you just said about that match. Yeah, I agree with you. Asuka Locke being back when she went to the outside. Asuka doing that kind of modified go-to-sleep.
Oh, yes. Jesus Christ.
It wasn't exactly.
It's supposed to be like a hip toss, but into the knee.
Into the knee.
God. Yeah. I got up and I was like, oh, shit.
She did that in the Rumble. I think she hits one of the legends with it. I was like, oh,
yeah. It's brutal.
We'll give it a couple of months. The neck is bent.
Yeah, yeah. Fucking man with a pen needs to watch that match.
Yeah. My number one and my match of the week pick, man, I got to go with Cien Almas versus Johnny Gargano. That match has put me like I was like this with Cien, like okay. That match made me go whoa like that. I am a fan, a bona fide 100% fan of Almas.
Wow.
Right there. And of course I like Johnny, and he lost. Okay, that's fine, whatever. I still like Johnny. Boom. That's what it is. What about you, sir?
If you have an honorable mention, I guess my honorable mention would probably be Omega and Jay White from the New Beginning.
Oh, this guy always with the Japanese.
That's good. Number three would have to be Sasha Asuka.
Okay.
Number two, Adam Cole versus Aleister Black.
Okay.
And number one, the women's. I'm just kidding. It's fucking Almas versus. Fucking Gargano. It's
Almas versus Gargano. Yeah.
When I was little, this was 100. You just kept doing this.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Yeah.
There you go.
What else say?
Andrew Williams Yeah, I'll be that guy. Tanahashi against Suzuki.
Of course.
Dude, Suzuki beat Tanahashi by submission by referee stoppage because he beat the shit out of Tanahashi's knee so bad that the ref stopped it.
Damn.
Tana didn't tap out. He got stopped.
Wow.
And apparently that could be his goodbye for a while. Yeah. And Suzuki after losing his hair
hurt since fucking last summer.
For Suzuki to get the redemption, losing to Goto at Wrestle Kingdom and him like ballsy doing the shit on his own. I think he has this Joker laugh. Like he really doesn't give a fuck about anything. Like he'll watch the world burn and still laugh the whole time. He doesn't care about opponents. But that's Andrew's pick. Tanahashi versus Suzuki. Robert Medlin, Almas versus Gargano, and Sasha versus Asuka is a close second. Aaron picked Black versus Cole. Brandon Ramshar picked wrestling Johnny versus Almas. Mark Deska, Black versus Cole with Almas second. Daryl Hughes, Almas versus Gargano with Black versus Cole being close.
Mr. Hughes.
John Guerra, Almas versus Gargano. Jose Luna, Almas versus Gargano.
These last names are giving it away.
Yeah, I know, right?
Caleb Wilson, Black versus Cole.
Wow.
But guess whose opinion matters?
Ah!
Unanimous.
All right.
Now. We need to get you broken into this because we would do this often.
Woken in.
This is our match of the week, unanimously.
Unanimous.
About 70% of our listeners also agree that it's a match of their match of the week. So around here, put our fist in the middle, and at the count of three, we do a thumbs up or thumbs down. If it's thumbs up, it's match of the year. If not,
it gets put on the list of match of the year.
It gets put on the list. So on the count of three, I'm not looking because I'm cheating because I'm looking over at the screen. One, two, three.
I was up at one.
You're used to finishing early.
Yeah. That's what I do.
Yeah,
dude.
That's officially on our list. Match of the year.
We have two now already.
Two match of the year candidates.
Yeah.
The first one was Jericho Omega.
This, I think I told you, this match was miles better than that match.
Mm.
So it should be a fun list.
Of the year, we're going to review our match of the year candidates and then make a pick to determine what is our match of the year. It's basically a whole year in the making. We just finished doing our 2017 episode where we reviewed everything and we picked our match of the year for 2017. Arnold, what was our match of the 2017?
Omega versus Okada 2.
Three.
Liar.
Three?
It's three.
Yeah.
That's right, because I wanted it to be two.
You wanted it to be two. We wound up picking it to be three. Yes. So that was our match of the year after a list of, like, what, eight different matches?
Yeah.
They're all really good. Yeah. So please, go back and take a listen if you get a chance to, if you haven't done so before. But we officially have two matches, and it's barely the end of January.
Yeah.
Well, tomorrow's February, so we'll count it for February.
Yeah, we'll count it. Okay. Is that it? Are we done?
That's it.
They are done.
All right. Adios, my friends.
Keep it classy. See y'all next month.
Arigato.
No, we're not nameless. We're not faceless. We were born for greatness. No, we're not nameless. We're not faceless. We were born for greatness. No, we're not nameless. We're not faceless. We were born for greatness. When our faces, we will bow for greatness.
Oh, wait a minute.
What's that?
Complete your software installation.
Fuck you.
No.
No.
Not right now.
Oh, is it already on?
Dilly Dilly!
Is it going?
Okay.
That was the second time I got crabs.
Oh. What about the first?
I don't talk about that one.
No, about that one. All right.